Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast. I'm Nick Mercer.
And I'm Erin Guilfoyle.
Before starting the interview with Ashley and Amy, we'd like to thank our sponsor, HeadCheck Health.
Concussion Talk Podcast is presented by HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges the gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Track Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck Health to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more.
Well, thank you, Ashley and Amy, for joining and I on this call. And Ashley, you were on Concussion Chats, the McGill Concussion Support Group.
That's right.
We did episode 22, we did. And so Erin and I already talked about your story, but I would like to hear the end just for our listeners, and also just I would like to hear all about your communication with your sister, your identical twin sister, I should specify. Which I'll touch on later. Also, you mentioned that you were working for the town of Kitchener or Waterloo or something like that.
I was working City Kitchener.
City Council and the city government. And you're working on the concussion protocol for that. And I was wondering, I'll ask you later about how your concussions changed your perspective on that. And but I'll ask that first of all, just like again, thank you all for being here. And get you to tell everybody, introduce yourselves and tell everybody your story again quickly, your story about how your incident happened, how your concussion happened.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me and having us on it. We chatted about this quite a bit because we only know life as identical twins. So it'll be interesting to hear perspective on what we have to say, if it's the norm or if it is unique, because we obviously don't know the difference.
Yeah.
But I'm Ashley, and 3 years ago, so I was 34, I guess. So 3 years ago, in November of 2018, I went to dodgeball, and it was a 10 o'clock game, p.m., and a couple of weeks leading up to it, I kept thinking how it was winter and cold, and I didn't want to go. And why did I sign up for it? But I know I always feel good once I'm actually there. So I dragged my butt down the road and went to dodgeball. And in the second game, I was hit blindsided. I was hit in the left temple by a dodgeball by a guy on the opposite team. Now, this guy was throwing headshots for the entire game, and we warned him a few times because it was self-reffing. And I didn't see the ball coming. I was focused on the other side of the court. It hit me in the left temple. I didn't fall down, but I definitely saw stars, and there was little buzzing going on in my head. I walked off the court, and I went into the changing room to have some quiet, because I'm not I'm used to being an athlete all my life, and Amy's also an athlete. We're used to just shaking off pain and you just continue on. But so that's what I went to the change room to do. I shook my head a few times, hoping it would clear, and it only felt worse. The room went upside down on me. The place was spinning. So I ended up just sitting out with the hope that I could jump in the game in a little bit once this stopped. Well, it never stopped. So from there, I managed to make drive home. Luckily, it was the school that was just a block away. So I was able to safely drive and navigate home. And when I got home, I just told Amy what had happened. And I had an ice pack on my neck because my neck was sore. And from there, I was just going to kind of like decompress from everything and then go to bed. And when it wasn't until a little bit on that Amy voiced and said, "I think you have a concussion," which I found amazing because being a sport development coordinator, my life was about minor sports and helping bring awareness to the boards and the importance of having protocol in place. And I didn't recognize the symptoms for myself. Amy noticed that my eyes were glazed over, my eyes were redshot. I wasn't really focusing or coming to, and she can share that part of her experience in a little bit. So that kind of resonated with me and made me realize what happened. So I ended up going to a doctor's clinic. He confirmed it and told me to go to physio. So I did that. And throughout November and into middle of December, I successfully passed the walk for 15 minutes and the return to sport protocol that is known, where you don't have symptoms and you can walk and you can do the different training and feel okay. So next thing you know, he said, "Yeah, go ahead to volleyball, go play." And I tried, and the gym lights were so bright, I was dizzy, and the people and the noise and the movement, I couldn't focus, and I ended up just sitting off to the side, because anytime I went to look up at the ball and to set it, the room would spin, and so I just walked off and eventually just stopped going. And that's when I looked for a new doctor, and luckily my doctor referred me to an amazing doctor in Kitchener-Waterloo, Dr. Bader at the Sports Armory Clinic. And he changed my life. He's a sports medicine doctor, and he helped walk me through things. I had to stop playing sport. And I went through all of the healing aspects where I had to do acupuncture and physio. And I couldn't understand why I kept heavily breathing between my words. And that's when I learned that my nervous system was still stuck in that fight response. And I had to see the breathing specialist to reteach myself and my diaphragm how to breathe normally without panting, which I think goes unseen a lot. And I thought it was just normal because I forgot how I used to breathe because it was just the new normal. So fast forward to all the different therapies between vision therapy and acupuncture and physio and chiro and the breathing specialist, and then you take a bunch of herbs and you change your diet, all trying to rebalance your nervous system. And after 2 years, the constant headaches slowed down, the dizziness slowed down, the fatigue is still lingering, and it was some days it's just hard to get out of bed. And now that I'm into my third year, so come November of this year, I'll be starting year four, I still have ongoing cognitive issues. And some of the biggest challenges I've had is word recall. And in the beginning, I would say I couldn't finish my sentence. I knew what I wanted to say up in my head, but I couldn't get the words out. So I would start half the sentence and then I would stop because it just wasn't coming. Or I would say the wrong word. Like, I wanted to say hanger and I would say umbrella. Like, it was so random and so strange.
Yes.
And with all of that, we worked through it. She helped me quite a bit. My dogs also helped. And during this journey, we're all told about the importance of mindset and meditation and putting down devices and sitting in silence and kind of grounding yourself. But we don't actually do it. We find excuses why we shouldn't do it because life is too busy, or you get distracted by the phone, or you get distracted by chores and to-do lists. And the one thing I found through this journey is that it forced me to slow down, it forced me to look, and it forced me to try these new lifestyle pieces. And it sucks because it does work. Like sitting in silence and grounding yourself when you have those symptoms starting. And even as we're on this call, being on a computer and talking one-on-one with people or with a group of people, I always have to look away into the distance and focus on something else so that one, my speech will work and I can get the words out. But then it also helps decrease the oncoming system because I can feel it start, and it's like a little hood where I can feel this little shield that starts creeping up from the back of my neck and coming up over my head into my forehead. And that's kind of how I can gauge what's going on with my symptoms, because the most challenging part I've found in my journey is that I feel fine while I'm doing the activity, and it's not until I stop and within a few minutes or a couple minutes, it just slams you as if you hit a wall with those symptoms, right? And it's been a struggle because doctors just say, well, don't do that. But how do you know what's going to affect you if you don't have the signals during, right? So it's a lot of self-awareness and being open to it, but then you also have to be open to hearing it. And I'm very happy and lucky that I had Amy, because she became my everything. And we are both very independent, strong, career-driven women who do our own thing. We're very close, but I still have my independence. And all of a sudden, my independence was taken away from me. And I went from being the one who did the cooking and looking after my two dogs and working and dealing with my own bills and finances and everything, to needing her to do everything. And all of a sudden, she became the caretaker of not only just me, she had to learn how to take care of my dogs, she had to help with the bills, and I had to let her get into my bank account and to help manage those things, because all of a sudden I couldn't. And nobody wants to do that. Even if you have a spouse, a partner, a husband, a wife, whatever, there's just some things where you just like to have that own control. It's not even the privacy, it's just the control. And having to let that go is really tough. But she made it easy for me for the most part. And she did a really good job learning how to cook and doing good meals. The other benefit was that she was able to correct me, because if I was living by myself, even today, I'll try to do too many tasks in a day thinking I can. And like, I'm happy if I get one task done. If I get two, I'm ecstatic. But I still think that I can do four, five, six things, and she'll check me and be like, well, if we're going to the grocery store later, that's the thing you're doing today, so you can't do any of this stuff. And she's kind of been forced into that parent role, which caused a few fights and frustrations in the beginning. Even to this day, we have moments where I'm just so freaking stubborn and headstrong because I feel so much better. But I still struggle with those aspects. Whenever you're in a grocery store, navigating it, I went from not knowing how to navigate the grocery store. I lost the ability to think that you go from produce down to bread to meat in the outside, then you go on the inside according to your list so that you can get in and out. All of a sudden, I was shopping from the left side of the store to the far right side of the store, and then the back again because I forgot something. And you add in the lights and the noise and the busyness of visually seeing people in your way, and then the heartbreak when you go to get an item from the shelf and it's not there and it's supposed to be, and then I would freeze. And I would zone out, and I didn't know I was in that moment. And like, I probably was standing there what felt like 10, 20 minutes, and it was probably only a few seconds, but Amy would know to come and get me and snap me out of it and be like, it's okay if it's not here, you can get it another time. Because I was so tunnel focused on that one item that it ruined everything else. Like, I couldn't, it distracted me so much, I couldn't get out of it without her help. I probably looked like such a crazy weirdo in the store. And I'm happy, sorry. But we quickly learned, Amy. I quickly learned.
Sorry, it's hard to hear. Can't really hear you.
I quickly learned.
that I can't go off and do my own groceries. Like, we'd both travel together to the grocery store. Yes. She would do her stuff, I would do my own, and then we'd meet up at the till and leave. Like, after the first time I realized I can't do that, I have to help her out. Yeah. So I'd be shopping and I'd cycle back to where she should be, and I would see her stuck staring like blindly into a shelf or at a corner and just not doing anything, not moving, people trying to get in and around. She wouldn't even notice that there's people beside her that are waiting to get into the same section. And so you'd have to snap her out, but it's not just like, it's okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I would have to distract her with what's next on her list. So then she would try to get her to forget about that specific thing. And that zoning out piece wasn't just with groceries. I started recognizing it with everything she does. She can get very focused and adamant and strong-headed that, no, this needs to get done. So it was, how can I distract her or get her to understand without getting in a fight or ruining a relationship over it or thinking I'm trying to take advantage or control her life? When it comes to like her working out and she's not supposed to, or we want to go for a drive, but whatever, like little, it was just random little things, cooking, like I want to make this meal. We're supposed to make this meal, but we can't because we don't have the one ingredient because it was on the store and trying to pivot. Right. So it kind of, yeah. So that part was interesting. And it just showed like where it went across the whole board of life and also the very little things that everybody takes advantage of in their everyday, because it's just second nature habit, like you don't even think about it. Then all of a sudden all these little things, we're thinking about how I'm driving so it doesn't affect her on the way to do the task of the groceries, because if I drive normally, which I think is fine, but if it's too fast or if there's too many people on this specific road, so is finding a back way route that has less people, less cars, less traffic, less bikes, so there's less stimuli coming this way to get to that store or to that doctor's appointment. So then, and then knowing after a doctor's appointment, she's done. And so I need to take her time and do the speed limit and drive carefully so the car doesn't jiggle, make sure there's no external noises, because all of a sudden she had super hearing and she could hear every little thing and diagnose like there's something wrong with my car engine or something like that. So it just, it was interesting. And that was a big learning curve for both of us, I think.
I think the biggest thing is biohacking.
I can't hear. Can you hear you?
Yes.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Driving was one of the biggest things we've had tiffs over.
That's it.
Because she is a good driver, but I found when the visual stimulus coming at me, because you don't realize how much movement there is when you're driving, when you're able-bodied and you don't have a concussion. Yeah. You don't realize that the pavement's moving, the trees are moving at a different speed, the other car coming at you is at a different speed. Yeah. And I lost the ability to tell the depth or like...
Yeah, depth perception.
Yeah, the depth perception's off. So like coming to a stop sign, I expect to feel like almost a kilometer away, the brakes on, and you slowly post to a stop, whereas it felt like she was just going...
Climbing the brakes, yeah.
Short stop, and it's not, right? And one of the things I forgot to mention was that my personality changed, and I don't know if it's common with concussions, but I went from being able to control my rage or anger when little things happen and be able to process to just being always so wound up, so stressed, so angry, and so in a rage. I didn't know it was happening until the day my oldest dog, he was like 12 or 13, love of my life, did something, and I had the vision of me wanting to kick him.
Yeah.
And I would never do that to an animal, and that shook me to my core. And I just remember looking at Amy and being like, I just had this thought, something is clearly wrong. And that's when Amy looked at me and said yes, because she had to find a way to stay calm. And looking back, I don't even know how she, as a sister, let alone friend and my caregiver, was able to stay so calm and understanding and supportive through it, when there was days when I wasn't very nice to her and there was things I would say, because it's easy to scream and yell at somebody you love that you have full trust in than it is to a parent or a friend or somebody else. And she took a lot of heat and anger that wasn't directed at her per se. It was just in the room, but she always happened to be in the room.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that she was able to find that ability to just be understanding and calm about it, because, I mean, she could have walked away so many times, right?
Yeah.
And she didn't.
So, sorry, Erin, I don't want to interrupt you if you have questions, but when this is going way back to the beginning of her story, when she came back from their dodgeball game, when did you sense that, were you home when she got back from the dodgeball game, or were you in living there at the same time at then, or how quickly did you realize that she was concussed, or there was not necessarily concussed, but there was something off?
Yeah, it was when she came back that night. So she was playing in a league, I wasn't playing in it. I've never liked dodgeball personally. She came back that night, and I just asked her how the game was, and she started telling me about what happened and how she saw stars and started rhyming off a few things, and she looked a little off, especially her eyes. So I just said, it sounds like you have a concussion, like you probably have a concussion. And she's like, oh no, it's just a hit, like I just took a hit. And I was like, So then ended up being the next morning where she still had a headache and was still dizzy and just off. That was where it was like, yeah, I think something's wrong. So like,
do you feel like the communication between you two changed during when it was before, say the Monday night, Monday during the morning compared to like that night, that evening when she got back? Is there different communication between you two or the way you interpret it?
I think so, but I didn't really recognize it in the moment. But looking back, she's always been a very, very well spoken and able to talk and do multiple things, but also have a conversation with you. And the next day it was slower, the conversation, but I was also working at the same time. So
I just felt like there was something off, and it was more of like a feeling without really knowing the conversation. And then later on, it started to become show more that I had to be more patient with her and try to think of my own words and how I speak to her and talk in full sentences. Because one of the things being twins is we assume the other already knows what you're talking about.
Yeah,
and you can speak in short form or not say the whole story, which is really cool. But when someone has with her injury, I can't just randomly start talking assuming she knows what I'm saying anymore. I had to actually talk as if she's some stranger that I'm telling a story to, giving the backstory and trying to speak concisely through it, and also slow. I'm a really fast speaker, and even more so when I'm with close family or friends.
Yeah.
So trying to slow myself down and then giving her time to process and take it in. So that was an adjustment at the start. And that was, she didn't know it was that there was anything wrong. I wasn't sure if there's anything wrong. And then here we both are trying to figure out this new dynamic together. And so there would be some frustration, some cross wires about what we were both talking about. But then we slowly figured out what worked and what didn't. And she was always good about pointing out, I need this from you. And so it was just a matter of trying to listen to what she needs and finding a way on how to actually deliver it and give it to her.
Right. Okay. No, Andy, I thought you had we should have to say, as you know, silly, I know when you want to ask a question, when I want to ask a question, but we haven't done that yet. So I'll just, Mr. Aaron, I'll just ask another question. But
yep.
Aaron says, okay, great. So I guess, so do you work also in the city, with the city government as Ashley does, or
is that my I was working outside at a private firm that was an hour away. So I was
also in recreational. You did recreational?
I did recreation before, and then I was working in landscape architecture.
Okay. And Ashley, currently. you did recreation or phys ed, or?
I was recreation facility management.
Okay. So you mentioned in the other, actually did mention the first in the concussion chats talk that you were working on a protocol for a concussion at the time, or do you have anything written down for that, or was there anything you could look back at and you go back, go like, wait a second, what was I thinking? This is not how it is, and they should really focus on this, and we should focus on this aspect of it, or something like that.
I thought it was ironic that I was in the process of working on it, and so my role was so diverse with so many aspects in it that I kept finding reasons to push it off, completing this process. And I would help my 40 whatever sport groups with it, but I wasn't getting it done. And it's when I got hurt and I realized the importance of it, because you think you know what a concussion is and the severity and the symptoms and how life-changing it is, but until you actually experience it, whether you're the caregiver assisting the person and you're living with them, or you're the individual that got hurt, I have not successfully returned to work. And I've since left the city because I failed return to work twice in the contract and whatnot with the way benefits are set up. So after 2.5 years, I was let go. But I know the first couple months, I found the first 6 to 8 months really tough to not work and not have it in my mind. So I was constantly trying to connect with my manager at the time, because we had a really good relationship, and I would give him suggestions or feedback and say how important it is to get the protocol done and that it needs to become a priority because it is life-changing. And the sport groups and the sport boards deserve to have this piece in place so that they can find support through it. And a lot of some of the sport groups that are higher functioning had some excellent resources. And The other piece I kept trying to explain as I went through my therapies was how different everyone's concussion is, and trying to explain how one test might seem like you're okay. Cause like I personally passed that return to play protocol, but I was still severely damaged. I should not have been showing up to volleyball in December. And luckily I had the fortitude to realize that something was wrong and stop. But it made me realize how many other youth are in these activities, and even professional athletes these days pass the same standard protocol, but they might still be having issues. And everyone wants to feel normal again and get back to their sport, but at what risk? And I think that's one of the pieces I'm most passionate about, is if every concussion is different and there's no standard symptoms or expectations of a concussion, how can we keep using the same one standard protocol to identify whether you should return to play or not? I feel guided, and I've tried to get that through to my boss, who's also experienced concussions firsthand, that we need to expand the policy and procedure from just the black and white of it. And we need to let the individuals to have that opportunity to witness the gray and share the gray and try to allow the athlete to understand that their health is their priority, and try to encourage them to voice the honest truth behind how they're feeling, regardless of what the standard says.
Right.
And I know they've since worked on it. I haven't seen it. I haven't been involved since I've been focused on my own journey, so I don't know where it stands.
Oh.
But it's definitely something that needs to continue to be looked into and expanded. And that goes into many other aspects that I've found through my years of work in the government. I've found there's a lot of broken policies and procedures in all the different steps of recovery. And it would be nice to see that individuals with a head injury aren't treated the same as if you have a broken arm or a broken back. And one of the parts of our journey was that I had to apply for CPP disability with the federal government. And again, that was something I had to lean on EMI for, because everyone says, I understand how a concussion is difficult. I understand. But here's a 55-page application for you to fill in, right? Which I needed EMI to ask me the questions because I couldn't read them. She recorded them because I couldn't read, think, and write them down. And then she had to handle it all. So there's just a lot of broken parts that I think we can improve. And I feel my experience going through this has helped identify those. And I'm going to I'm feeling guided to help bring light to it.
Good. Great. I was trying to ask you, the communication you were saying, as you said before, it's communication, it's identical twins. Could you feel those, like, you can experience each other's pain, that's a different thing altogether. But I mean, could you tell that she wasn't thinking the same way, working the same way, acting the same way? Is like, could you feel it more? I don't know, more like, you don't know, different, but like, could you feel that there's something, the way she was conducting herself was the word of the term for, was different than before?
Yes, there was like the behavior change and the emotional change with it, because before she was independent and I would rely on her to take care of all the details of things, and for a lot of the planning and dealing with, like, if we're going to go on a trip, dealing with the phone calls to the airlines and booking the tickets and sorting up the house and dog care and like all of that, right, and packing up everything that needs to go. And then all of a sudden it was trying to do Jenga and she doesn't even know how to start. And then not having the capacity to have the ability to actually speak on the phone, even just general conversations with family and friends, people would message her, how are you, what's going on, what's new, how's your head, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they're not listening and hearing, actually getting it. But then she was also overwhelmed because all of a sudden everyone cares for her and wants to know, but she can't answer because it overwhelms. And so for the first year, she would just shut down. And so I would hop in or message people to let them know where she's at and how things are going, or no, she's not back at work yet. This is where we're at. And sometimes even being like, and sometimes I need you to stop.
Yeah.
Cause I know it's coming from a loving place, but I need you to stop because it's affecting her. And being twins on top of being empaths, me and her both big empaths, we feel for everyone in the world and worry about everyone's feelings, but it's 1,000 times worse. So just the daily struggles of watching her trying to make a simple breakfast, right? Something else you take advantage of is watching her try to get out all the ingredients and make herself something to eat, and then forgetting this or forgetting that, or forgetting she's making breakfast, and next thing you know, she's off organizing her closet, or trying to play with the dog out back, and meanwhile she got something half cooked on the stove, and being okay, no, you need to come back and eat. So she was never that squirrely, so all of a sudden trying to rein her in and keep her focused was a big thing on one end. So the doctor, for example, the first while, Dr. Bader, because we're twins, we're able to finish each other's sentences, and we're kind of in each other's heads. And when we were kids, that used to be an issue. Apparently our older sister used to talk for us because we would just gibber jabber, and my older sister would know what we were talking about. And so it got to a point where Allison had to learn to not do that, so that me and Ashley could become independent people and learn how to properly speak for ourselves as little kids. Well, all of a sudden her one doctor's appointment's happening, and Dr. Bruder pointed out, well, you guys are doing that again. Amy can't keep finishing your sentences. And before she would even ask for something, I'd know what she wanted and I'd go get it for her. And so my actions thinking I'm being helpful, I found out that it was actually harming her and her development. So even though she's pausing or freezing, I need to let that process happen because her brain needs to start getting those connections going again and finishing that thought. And by me thinking I'm helping by jumping in, it's more detriment. So that became something I need to learn to stop doing as well, is try to give her time to process and get to the finished end. So that was tough.
No matter how long and slow it took.
Oh my God. Patience is a big thing that people need.
Sasha, I was gonna ask you that best you can, was good segue. But communication, have you noticed that, as you actually were saying, it's been almost be this November, but November it'll be 4 years, be doing their fourth year. So have you noticed that your communication is maybe has improved to reach an area where you're more comfortable with the finishing each other's sentences, or going back to your normal activities of communication? Mm-hmm. Notice that's changed in the past 3, almost 4 years now.
Now, I feel like now that we're going into the third year, and her cognitive work's been getting better, she can do more of her daily, everyday tasks, which has been great to see. She's able to do more than just one task a day, which is great. So I think our conversation is starting to slip back into old patterns, where we're starting to be able to know what we're talking about. And I'm starting to jump in now and then to help, but I don't have that urgency to be focused and watching her all the time and making sure that she has what she needs, because I flipped to being almost too helpful. So now I'm not as worried about if I don't hear or see her. I'm not worried that she's standing out in the garden for an hour, stuck. So that's been a nice change. Yeah, but there's still times where we do still have issues. Like she said before, pre-injury, we were already in each other's heads. So it would just take a look or a movement or maybe a starting of a word, and I would know what she was going to say, because we were used to say the same thing, maybe different words, but the purpose and the meaning behind it was the exact same all our lives. And all of a sudden, she still needs to paint the picture for me so that I can clue in. Most days I'm there with her on the same wavelength, but there is times where she'll just start talking halfway through the conversation. And I wasn't there for the first part because I'm not on that wavelength. So there has been some of those changes, but it's been nice to see that I'm at least getting there again.
If it's does, still if taking does start time. Sentence, like midway through a sentence or a thought, do you find yourself getting back to that where you can realize where she's the wavelength she's on?
I can. As soon as she loops me into how the conversation or thought began, I'm usually right back there with her. There's still times when there's hiccups and I'm lost. I also find that I can just, my word recalls a lot better and I'm able to say what I'm thinking. But when I do get stuck, I'm comfortable with looking at her and she can give me the word I'm looking for. Or she'll just say, yes, I understand. And she'll go on to her side of the conversation and we just move forward with it. Okay. But then,
we have apparently less than a minute left in this call, apparently.
Yeah.
So I better just thank you both for being here. If I lose you all together, but thank you both. And Aaron, thank you for, you know, being around.
Yeah.
Still co-hosting this, and although you didn't get a chance to say much, but I got to upgrade this, my Zoom, although I did record successfully today, so that's a plus.
That is a plus.
But although I'm going to lose you guys soon, but thank you both, Amy and Ashley, for joining me and letting us all in this. I think it's hard to really know because it's normal for you and it's not normal for us to spend a bit, which is what I was so interested in. But again, I realize now that it's hard to communicate that, but still, it's definitely a different experience. It's definitely a good to have a caregiver slash sister slash twin. Like, so it's great to have this sort of angle to it all. And you can feel what each other are going through a bit more than most people. So that's just been great to hear. Well, my Zoom has been upgraded. And I just want to thank Ashley and Amy again for joining me on that. Would end up being a pretty disjointed call. But hopefully everyone took something away from that. And I hope you join me again. Thank you. Music at the beginning of this podcast is by Ben Sound, www.bensound.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.